Open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still experience grind with Kyle and Sean.
Next thing you know, like you said, you just see, you're just like pop, 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 pop. And next thing you know, you just see on the kill feed the same name over and over again, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was just playing this game. Yeah, for audio listeners, Kyle just nodded his head, indicating a yes. So I was just playing a game on Scrapyard. You know, the one that's kind of got like, it's almost like trains in the dead center.
Yeah. Or that's an old whatever. Modern Warfare 2 map, tiny. Too. I like that one.
It's tiny. It's got two sides. You can run down the center of the derailed-looking train things, right? But on both sides, there's a good sniping window. Uh-huh. And you can just see from one side to the other. Well, on one of the sides, there's a staircase to get up to some windows, but there's also a ladder that brings you up to some higher scaffolding in this room. And I'm across the map, and I'm just sitting there with my sniper, and I see this guy climbing a ladder, and I'm like, oh, nice. So I just right off the rip, start holding shift, and around the corner he pokes. You know, he's a sniper. He's just trying to be sneaky. Pokes his hand out, see his head, pop, gone. You know, I could shot his hand, but you want that. You want that feeling of, yeah.
You want to hear that sound effect that goes ting every ting. Time you hit a headshot.
Exactly.
You want and that.
So I smoke him out and I run around the corner because it's over in the corner of the map where it's got like that little square, whatever the hell it is. Mm-hmm. It looks like
a loading dock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I run around that and I toss down a proximity mine and, you know, do a little peek. I'm checking my surroundings and I go back. And I peer down my scopes again, and I see this guy climbing a ladder. I'm like, oh, wonderful. So I wait a second. I hold down shift, hold my breath, and around the corner, ping, ping, gone. There it is. Same exact name. Go do my loop again. I go check my prox mine. I hit C. I drop down a resupply thing, help out some teammates, get a new proxy, go around the corner a little bit. And I come back around again, and sure enough, there's a guy across the map climbing a ladder. I'm like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah.
By this time, I thought he was going to be at a manhunt trying to get me to, you know, he knows where I am. He's clearly not talking to anybody. He's just trying to, I don't know if he's trying to get a drop on me, because he's not even looking my way when I pop him.
And I wonder if, like, if it's a thing, like, sometimes I do this, like, not even that I'm so mad, but, like, I just thought a kill was bullshit, so I'm not even, I don't even care about the kill cam. I'm skipping through, get me back in the game, and I wonder if, like, sure. If he's just, like, muscle memory skipping your kill cam, not even seeing that you're sniping him.
It's possible. I mean, it's a instant KO, you know? But I was thinking if he is watching my kill cam, I'm catching him as I'm running around, mm-hmm. and you see me run around, stop, and watch him go up the ladder. Maybe he, like, sees me running and thinks I just, like, got lucky in my positioning or something. But, dude, I just ripped you 3 times in a row. Yeah. Please stop going there. If you were on my team, bro, what are you doing?
I'm not always successful because, I mean, as every red-blooded American male that grew up listening to Limp Bizkit and Eminem knows, sometimes you have an anger issue and you do get into the fucking seethe area. But I try to keep a hard cap at 2. Like, if I get killed at the same spot twice, go somewhere else, man. Obviously, that's on a lock. Somebody has something on that one. So whatever way I'm doing, it's not working. So just try something else, or else you're just wasting, feeding kills.
Yeah. Yeah, at that point, you just go... You.
Yeah, right.
You.
Or you see this motherfucker. Goddamn, I know he's right there. I know he's right around the corner. Fuck, he got me 4th time. All right, now I know where he is. I'm going to get him.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking, you know. God.
And you pop around the corner and you're like, you want a fresh one? And you just pop him.
You want a fresh one.
You want a fresh one, dog.
Hola, COD. Oh. Yeah. So I've played some COD since I've been back. Last night, I really ripped into two games recently. For some reason, I've been wanting to play a different game, but I don't want to buy it. So in order to stave that feeling off, I'm trying to beat a different game on the Steam backlog that I've wanted to beat for a long time anyways, which is a HD remaster of another Dreamcast RPG. Because I told you I downloaded the Dolphin emulator too.
Yeah.
To play a completely different former Dreamcast RPG, but not the one that I'm currently playing, because this one has trophies.
Okay.
Which is another itch to scratch, you know, comparatively.
Well, okay, so you mentioned emulator a second ago. Have you played with retro trophies?
No. I've never even heard of it.
Dude, you can do that. A lot of the big ones, you can load up an NES game, and it's got trophies that you can unlock. Sure, none of your friends are going to see it. They don't really matter. But they're things that you can work towards while playing through an old school game.
I wonder how far updated they are then. Because this is a Dreamcast game. Within the last couple of
years.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That is one of the reasons I like HD remasters too. I don't know why trophies, they do get you though. It's like the Call of Duty sniper ting.
Okay, ADHD brains. Okay, let's come together right here.
Yeah.
You're playing a different game because of trophies. What game is that?
So right now I'm playing through Grandia 2, it's a classic RPG. And it's funny, I remember as a kid thinking it was so fucking awesome and badass. And now playing it, it's like so silly. And so it's also, this was Dreamcast. This was really hardcore 3D graphics. So at the time, everything looked great. But even on the HD remaster, it's everything's very, it's a step above Final Fantasy VII sprites, but they're still very chunky.
Yeah.
And also because of enhanced graphics, everything is so bright and colorful, which they did also with Final Fantasy X, but at least with that one, they explained it it's a tropical paradise. Mm-hmm. Everything's bright and beautiful. And it's okay, you made it fit narratively. This one is just hey, here's a different town that has the same wacky quilt style decorating program. I don't know. Minor nitpicky shit. But overall, not a bad game. It has an interesting battle system.
Interesting. It's got enjoying that?
The ATB at the bottom, the active time bar, whatever. You can see every character and every monster and where their moves are coming up. And then once you put in the action, there's a separate bar that's almost like a bomb fuse that it's counting it down. And but you have two different types of moves. You can do your regular move, or if you're quick, or if you're timing it out right, you can do a hard attack. And if you hit them in that moment, you'll not only cancel their attack, but you push them back and delay them farther on the timeline. It's sort of like Final Fantasy X-ish. But I think this game came out before. Yeah, it definitely came out before it.
This looks, the HD collection looks great.
It is pretty sweet.
It's a very bright mixture of Final Fantasy and Chrono Trigger. Not necessarily in the battle system, but in terms of visuals.
Yeah. It gives me very, very heavy FF10 vibes. But that's not been bad. I've also, of course, namesake of the show, I found an area before you leave the first real hardcore area where you can just experience grind that fucking ass off, baby. And there's this group of enemies you fight that are six of them at a time, and each of them give you separate experience and shit. So you can really stack that up.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the show. I mean, we've talked extensively, for longtime listeners, we've talked extensively about how Final Fantasy I is one of my favorite Final Fantasies ever, the old NES one. And I don't know if I've mentioned it, but dude, every time I start that game, I will literally just stay in that tiny little 16x16 block of woods surrounding the first town and just grind until I'm about dead, go into town, heal, come back out, grind. And dude, I pump up until it becomes a too much of a chore, and then I'll move on. Yep. But at that point, dude, you are so powerful.
So over-leveled.
Doing anything. Mm. I fucking love it.
Before
we get too far removed from Dreamcast, every time we bring up Dreamcast, I try to think of the name of a game, and it finally came to me this time. You're a big Resident Evil. I've never brought it up before because it's never popped up. You're a big Resident Evil guy. Have you ever played Carrier?
I've watched Carrier. Is that one of the FPS ones or?
No, it's very similar to the first Resident Evil.
Okay.
And that was on, it was on
Dreamcast. I thought you were saying Resident Evil Carrier. No, the game Carrier. Yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah, dude. Love that game, and I don't think I've ever like met somebody else who's played that game, so I've never really talked or thought about it except for whenever it comes up on this show. And I was like, man, that game was pretty fucking cool. It's basically Resident Evil on a ship.
Yeah, I remember we should do a Carrier ep. I'm down into this emulation shit now, and I know that it works and it's easy, and I know especially Dreamcast shit.
Dude, okay, so you also just said you stave off buying stuff, so you play stuff in your in your backlog. Dude, I'm the worst. Like, when I feel like I really need to get something, I start focusing on something else and looking into different things. And bro, when I tell you that when Yuri shared his picture of his analog pocket, how badly I want that thing, and you can't even emulate on it. It just plays every handheld game.
Yeah,
every cart you can just pop right in. And so of course today I'm like, okay, I know those were pretty scarce like a year ago, let me look into this. They are still impossible to get.
Damn.
If you want to get one on Amazon, it's like $600. I started looking on eBay, the cheapest one. Okay, so I go on Amazon first and I see that price tag and I'm like, oh, fuck no. So I go on eBay and it's like, all right, well, $400 isn't bad. But right? It's weird when you like justify it like that in your head when it retails for $200.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not going to do that. I'll just sign up for the notify me when it's back in stock, especially since I just bought wrestling tickets today for a Vegas show in May.
That sounds right.
Yeah. It was like immediately after that. And I'm like, I just spent $300. I'm not spending more money on a handheld system that I need to buy games for.
That true. That too. Plus, like, like I said in the chat, the one thing, like, one of my biggest gaming regrets is that I sold a fucking Neo Geo Pocket Color that I had. Mm. And I don't know why, because I have, like, I never sell things like that. I have every other fucking Game Boy I've ever had, every variant of. I have like two different DSs plus a 3DS. Like, I keep all my systems. I don't know why I got rid of number one, the most unique one, and one that I really liked. It had some sweet ass games on it.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's a bummer. I'm shocked at the amount of things that I've sold or traded in for pennies on the dollar. Yeah. What up, GameStop? Like, the amount of things. But then I also look that I have a Wii. I have a Wii U in box.
Yeah.
Like, when I moved, I had to throw away 8 generations worth of console boxes that aren't ever going to be worth anything. You
right.
know?
I keep them, too. I've got my PS4 and PS5 boxes in my attic. For who, Sean? For who?
For nobody. I just threw away my Animal Crossing Switch box.
Ah, I bet it hurt.
It tore me up so much. Breaking that down, breaking down my PS4, PS4 Pro, and PS5 box. Like, but I got rid of my Vita and my PSP, and like,
surprisingly, I've never gotten rid of those, and I never will now, especially. I still keep thinking, like, I want to get another Vita for fucking backup, because I love that thing so much that I will be devastated when mine's gone. And I want to have one or maybe even two that I've just got ready to go.
I love portable gaming more than I love gaming itself.
Like, which is, I like portable gaming a lot, but this is also funny for you and me. Hate cell phone gaming. You're kind of turned around because you have been playing the absolute balls off of Snap.
Okay, yeah, I've been playing a lot of Snap. Turns out I'm pretty good at the game.
Shocker.
Shrug, whatever. But also, I haven't played it in a week, and I don't care.
Yeah, like, that's the way I got with it. Like, when I played Snap, I was super into it, and I liked it, and I played it a lot. But then I stopped, and I was like, oh, I don't even care to go back.
Yeah. Earlier tonight, I booted it up. And like, man, I should probably do a couple daily challenges. But like, I've already infinited this month, and there's really nothing else for me to do but get smashed by people that have all of the cards.
Throwing every dollar at it. Yeah.
So like, next month, sure, maybe I'll get back on the grind to infinite, and I'll probably infinite again. Maybe. I don't know. I've already done it once. Like, is there a point to do it again? I don't know. I've already made it further in that game than Dave, Ryan, and Yuri, who played it for 3 years straight.
Not only have you gotten farther than them, I think you're farther than all of them combined.
Not cards-wise. They all have way more cards than I do.
Sure. But level-wise, you'd stomp their butts. Didn't you beat Dave 2-1?
Yeah, I beat Dave 2-1, but I also made him make a deck that was like on my pool level.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly fair when it goes to that. They are light years ahead of me in that. But dude, and
I know at portable least gaming, for sure. Yeah. Mm. That's the thing. And
I want that analog so bad.
And that's why. All right. So here we talk about games that I'm preventing myself from buying.
Yeah.
90% of the reason I want to buy this game is because I can play it on the Switch and it's an RPG and I can put it in my hands and fucking zone out and grind.
I'm going to.
Like I said, I'm just trying. Because I've also wishlisted it, hoping it goes on sale. Here's the other thing. I own this game on the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to play it on the Wii. I don't want to pull the Wii shit out and look for it. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm willing to buy it again, but I'm not going to pay full price again. I'm also in that boat. This is Xeno Chronicles, the first one.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been wanting to play all of them, especially because they're also tangentially related to the Xeno
Gears. Wait, did you say Xeno Chronicles or Xenoblade Chronicles?
Xenoblade Chronicles. That's what I meant to say. I don't think I said that. So,
but yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles 1 was really good.
Like I said, I owned it, and I played like maybe 10 minutes of it, but again, it was a Wii RPG, and I didn't fucking care. Really?
Dude, that you have it on Wii? That game's worth some money.
Is it? I think I have like the special edition too, with like the art book.
I know it became really hard to find at one point. And okay, so it's wild. I passed up buying it for $20, and then like a month later it was over $100.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Have you played all of them, or just the first one?
What would happen if I got the analog?
You would play, you would get on eBay and buy tons of old GBA games.
Dude, you know me, because the first thing I would do is go on eBay and look for lots of, full on lots.
Sure, sure. That's a good way to do it. I'd always do individual, but lots is a way.
Dude, do lots and then go to, not tag sales, but, the market flea markets.
Oh, yeah. I love doing that. Dude, every flea market and thrift store I go to is I'm always looking for gaming shit. Mandy goes with her friends. I'm like, if you see anything gaming, you call me on a video call. I'll let you know if anything's worth it. So,
Xenoblade Chronicles is $71 right now.
Okay.
I guess it's opened. Not that big when you think about the fact that it's only up maybe $20.
I think, yeah, if I get the new one digital right now, but it's also, they call it a remaster. I don't know really what they do. I should actually look that up too, but it's like, I think it's $60 right now. So I'm just waiting for some sort of sale of it.
Oh my God. I have this on the Switch.
Yeah. You already own it on the Switch? The first one? Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Did you
because
beat it?
I had it on...
Wii?
Yeah, I had it on the Wii.
The first one was on Wii, and then the second and third ones, I think, were both on the Wii U.
Interesting. If you go on Amazon right now, Kyle... Oh, you already have it on the Wii. Why am I... Listeners, if you go on Amazon right now, and if you have the little save widget thing from Capital One, you can save $27 with a coupon.
I'll be damned. I use the Honey app, but that's more on like... That's not on eBay.
Yeah. Well, the on Amazon, it shows the price, and then it says Prime, free returns, and then it has this big green thing, and it says save $27. You just click it, and it brings you to eBay, where you can buy it for much cheaper.
That's funny. That's funny.
That's fucking awesome.
What else?
You're learning like stuff here, folks. Capital One Shopping. Get the plug-in.
What's in your wallet?
Xenoblade Chronicles.
But no, I've been wanting to play them because they're related to Xenogears. They're in the same overarching universe. Although I believe Xenoblade takes place like tens of thousands of years after Xenogears even. So,
dude, I wouldn't want to sit there and try to piece together the chronological order of all of this shit because it's like
it's almost like a
millennia between some of the games.
Well, and here's the thing, because like, there's also the Xeno Saga series, which started on the PS2, which was more directly related to Xenogears, and they're supposed to make six of those, but they only got three of them out. And the craziest thing is that all of these are related to like actual real world like Christianity mythology. Like Jesus is a real character in these fucking mythos.
Which is wild when you, like, if you know the story of Xenoblade Chronicles, like, and the worlds, air quotes, worlds.
Because it's two giant robots, right?
Yes. Which is two giant robots that, like, were fighting to the death.
And then they died, and then two separate human civilizations sprung up on them. Yes. And they're so massive that, like, human cities are built on them, and you can't even tell it's on a... I love shit like that. That scale is just ridiculous.
Like you start on its foot and this big mossy world.
I gotta get them, man. I gotta get them.
Yeah.
But I do want to play Carrier. I wrote it down. I think we should do a Carrier episode. Number one, because I fucking love the Dreamcast. I've said it 1,000 times on this show. I'll say it 1,000 more. Dreamcast, probably still my favorite system.
It is in my top three. Top five total. I don't know my top five, but I know it's in there. And it may be top three if I actually sat down and thought about it.
It's definitely... It's so far up there. If it's not number one, it's because it's tied with number one with like the PS1 maybe.
PS1 and not the PS2, huh?
PS1... So I also try to classify it as like defining timelines for me. And like, dude, making a jump from like the Nintendo era... to the PlayStation era blew my little mind. When I played the first Resident Evil and that bloody zombie turns around and looks at you, looking back at it now, it's so fucking asininely cheesy. But dude, in 1998 in my living room watching that shit with my mom and we're like, what the fuck? You know?
Okay. Blew my mind. You know what we should do next week? We should spend the next week thinking, actually doing a deep dive on ourselves and thinking about our personal top five video game systems that defined us and how we would rank them.
Love it. So I'll shut up about it now because that's one of the best ideas I've heard. I love that.
Dreamcast will be it's in the not top. Necessarily that they're the greatest systems, but the things that really helped define our gaming.
And I think I like this idea, too, because I think, at least for me, I know my answers are not going to be a lot of what people expect.
Same.
So I'm excited about this. Good idea, Shiny boy.
Thanks, dude. Also, I think a lot of mine might be what people expect, but I don't think they'll expect them in the order in the hows and whys.
The reasons.
And the reason is, I'm excited. This is going to be the most work that I put into the show and... a year.
I'm excited about that, to think about it, and it'll also be a beautiful, glorious, and tasty palate cleanse.
Yeah. It'll be a nice little in-between because, as everybody knows, they've seen the title card. We are doing Analyze That, the follow-up to our last official episode on the other side of your Bahamas trip to analyze this.
I'm also going to make this sound effect. Tink, 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 tink. And now me explaining what that sound effect was. That's me kicking the can of the Bahamas story down the road to next week because I think it'll be more interesting to make the audience wait because I have some good stories and I'm a good storyteller, but we're going to keep you waited at bated breath.
About 8 minutes ago, I looked at the time and I'm like, we're not getting to Bahamas.
That's fine. Also, I mean, we probably could because I don't know, man. I'm going on a limb here and based on our pre-show communications. Sean, this movie fucking sucked, dude.
Oh, man. You didn't like this movie.
Not nearly as much as the first one. And
oh, that's a given.
I learned a lot about it afterwards. And after what I learned, it made perfect sense.
Okay.
We're shocked to see this was still Harold Ramis.
Yes. 2002. Still Harold Ramis. I was very surprised to see his name pop up.
I also just... I do feel the quality of the movie is nowhere near the first one.
This is very much a tale of two different movies.
Mm-hmm.
The first movie was very, it was very well defined in what it was and that it was very much so. It was pretty straight a gangster movie, but with the added twist of, well, the guy has to see a shrink and comedy ensues in that. But there is the other side of he's also a very serious guy. And I think there is elements of that in this movie. But man, it they lay on the ridiculous a little heavy. Mm-hmm. Like a lot heavy.
Yeah.
It's very slapsticky in parts. And yeah.
It's wild how it became a parody of itself.
Mm-hmm.
But again... knowing what I know now, which is what I'm going to tell you, is number one, Sean, would you believe that this sequel was greenlit and fast-tracked to production because of the surprise success of the first movie, and they wanted to capitalize on that?
So the they capitalized on it 3 years later, okay?
Which is honestly still, for a off-the-ground complete sequel... written from literally nothing is pretty huge. They didn't adapt a script. And that's another issue, really, honestly, that you see. And it's maybe it's showing a bit of Harold Ramis's age because he has done movies, especially with the caliber of actors that he's working with here, that have been very slapdash, very put together, very made guerrilla style. This movie's the same way. Sean, I was reading that like, they barely had a script for the movie. They were writing the script as they were going, which you can tell because it feels very, not only is it, it's very, I call them paint by numbers, where nothing is shocking, nothing is surprising, you know, every beat that's coming the whole time. And so it's just, it's just quick. They were oftentimes, he would write scenes like while they're shooting it. He'd meet with Billy Crystal and Robert De Niro and just like they would have to hash things out, like very much similar to what happens in this movie when the actor guy is wanting his advice on how he should do a thing. And he's, I don't know, man. I feel it suffers a lot because it's just not the same quality of movie. Like, I also don't understand, like, I feel like Lisa Kudrow and the kid, they have absolutely nothing in this movie. I thought I remembered Lisa Kudrow getting more. She has so much less. She has like, I swear they shot all of her stuff in one day.
She has exactly like going back to back with the first movie. She has exactly what you would expect. Like the big things that she had in the first movie, you know, her reactions to every interaction with Paul Vitti. Like the over the top, like, oh my God, what this guy again? Like, that's all the interactions in this movie. Mm-hmm. And his kid, the big thing with his kid. Okay, now he's the town car driver? Question mark. And he's also like, he grew 6 feet and put on 200 pounds in the 3 years. It is the same actor. We looked it up before the movie. I couldn't believe it. Dude.
It suffers too because, like, with the Lisa Kudrow character, with the son, with Paul Vitti, with fucking Billy Crystal, nobody has done any growth from the first movie where we saw them have growth, and yet in this movie, they've all reverted. Lisa Kudrow is still a one-note character that doesn't like Paul Vitti being around. Fucking De Niro.
Where's the growth there, though? Is she going to end up liking him and wanting him around?
Right. Like, I mean, something could have happened. Like, something should have happened. I think that's another reason this movie is lacking, because it just feels like the first movie again. Because even like it's the same issues. Billy Crystal has issues with his dad, which coincides with Robert De Niro having issues with his dad, which are issues we solved in the first movie. Yet now we don't have anything else to do. So we got father problems again.
You know who the only character is that can get away with no growth in this movie?
Jelly.
Jelly.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's a beautiful thing for Jelly.
Jelly is still enjoyable as hell. Even though, again, it gets so hacky when, like, all the mob guys are just on the set all the time now.
Yeah. Okay. So I believe we ended... analyze this asking where can they possibly go from here, and where they went from here was you have Paul Vitti in prison in Sing Sing, like we saw him being sentenced to what, like 16 months. It was next to nothing for everything that this guy has done. I seriously think it was only like 16 months or something like that, or 6 years. It was like one of the two. Again, still like next to nothing. And so we fast forward to this, right? It's got to be 6 years. Time frame. Duh. And like somebody's trying to kill him. He's, of course, the big old mob guy. But at the end of Analyze This, they're talking about how, like, keep your nose down. Get out of here. I'll be here for you if you want. This movie starts with Paul Vitti giving people protection in prison. And then
intimidating
all of a sudden
people
see...
on the TV.
Yeah, intimidating, and then moving out and be like, I don't care. And then next thing you know, guards are trying to kill him. They're trying to get other inmates to kill him. And
this whole... like,
none of that's really in-depth explained. It doesn't need to be, because you can put the pieces together that, you know, the mob and mafia has
are
their
connected.
Fingers in everything.
Yeah.
But fast forward to after one attack, and next thing you know, he's just... standing on table, snapping his fingers, doing some, once you're legit, you're always
doing,
legit. You know, doing West Side Story stuff.
Yep.
And he's locked in this for days until you've got Dr. Ben going and getting him out and being like, listen, you know, he's crazy. Which, admittedly, I did laugh at, like, the whole... not comatose. What is the word that they used?
I mean, comatose fits just as well. He's detached. He stares blankly.
Yeah, and when
he
goes...
he's not singing show tunes.
Yes, he has the two different sides. But he goes, back when I was a resident, we used to spend some time just messing with the comatose people or whatever. And so he starts doing a whole Curly from Three Stooges routine on him, right? And smacking him, stabs him in the leg with a needle, trying to get him to react. And you know where it's going, that he's faking it to get out of there because he knows someone's trying to kill him. But the problem and the detachment from this movie that I had with the last movie, because I do think that I enjoyed this movie a lot more than you did, because I really enjoy these characters, and I would just watch any movie with these characters. I like their chemistry.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Billy Crystal always makes me laugh. I'm just saying, like, I got pulled out more. I don't know, like you said, it feels like a cheap copy of parody, almost. Of, like, the first movie does take itself seriously, but it has fun. Whereas this one, yeah, like, they didn't know what to do, so, hey, let's make Bobby sing show tunes. Nobody's seen super serious Robert De Niro do that. That'll be funny.
Yeah.
I did.
That gets him out, and...
I did laugh at the Billy Crystal slapstick scenes, And I did laugh when he does get him out of prison. And the first thing, fucking De Niro goes, what, 3 fucking days? I call you, you can't come get me? He immediately breaks the character shit. And he's like, I knew it!
Yeah, and he goes, and what was the thing with the needle? Why'd you stab me with a needle? And you just know he's been fucking, it's been
seething about it the
him.
Whole time. Yes. Yeah, that shit was good. But then you get to the awkward shit of him just like banging the whore for hours. Like,
yeah. Because it's like, yeah, I get it. That's like in his character or whatever. But why did I need to see that? Like, I don't need to see that. Put something more meaningful in the spot, because that whole scene could have been removed from the movie. All that was okay. The only thing that was in the movie for, and it wasn't to show his character. It was for Lisa Kudrow. That was only to get a reaction out of Lisa Kudrow and drive her forward, or like give a reason behind them paying her to be on this movie. That is literally all this was for. But then you start seeing other, this is the part that really fractured me a little bit, is you have all of Analyze This, where it's his family against another family in New York, right?
Yeah.
And him being like, I'm out of this. That's fine. I understand why he has to get back into this, kind of. About 3/4 of the way through the movie, I'm like, wait, why is he back in on this? Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Outside of just, he's, okay, sure, whatever. To get to the end point, sure. But now there's, his family's now run by Patty. Sure. Who I thought was Sigourney Weaver for the entire movie in a blonde wig. It uncanny. And this other family that's never been mentioned any other time.
The Wrench?
The Rigozzi, Rigotti, Rigatoni.
Which again, they do the cheap thing trying to make us scared of him by having his henchmen kill Joey Diaz at the start of the movie. Which I got a little pop from.
It was nice to see him.
I like Joey Diaz, gotta admit.
Yeah.
Dude's a hell of a storyteller, so.
Yeah.
But again, he's only in the movie for like 3 minutes, and then he gets killed off camera, by the way.
Yep. This couldn't have been rated R, was it?
I don't think it might.
It was rated R.
Still. I guess for language.
Again, just language. Did I have the same thought about, I had the same thought about Analyze This.
Yeah,
I was surprised as well.
I am actually shocked because this one has nothing near the caliber of what even the first one does. And I think the first one is a very soft R in general.
They said the F word a lot in this movie. Now that I think about it, it is a lot.
Again, which you expect with the gangsters. They're going to pepper fuck around.
100 F words, which I still think is less than the first movie.
Yeah, I think the first one had like 118 or something.
Something like that. Another thing, insane.
I did appreciate is that they don't fucking at least drag this on. This was, what, an hour 36, 37? Something pretty
with
tight.
With credits.
Yeah, with credits.
I mean, when I logged in to watch it, it was at like an hour and 30 almost on the dot.
Yeah.
With it saying the end. But then I watched like 6 minutes of bloopers because I fucking love bloopers.
Yeah.
So.
They,
You put it in a movie, I'm going to watch it.
What else? Oh, I generally, almost every time that a movie is like pulling the camera back and they're making a movie in the movie, that always just feels especially cheap in this movie. Like they're just like, hey, how can we stretch that production budget? Hey, let's throw the production on camera.
It feels real bad. Excuse me. It feels real bad in this movie. When done right, I like it. I do find it to be, you know, it can be really fun if done right. But this, you see from coming from a mile away, mm-hmm. considering it's like, it's the movie that's being shown in prison, which I don't know if you've ever heard like the joke that it's the strangest thing that convicts love watching cops in jail.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so they love watching this, fine, whatever. And De Niro's like, I don't want to watch this. Vitti's like, turn the channel. So they turn it, but then it's that show that he ends up consulting on.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, so he gets out before parole. Billy Crystal, Dr. Sobel's got to make Paul Vitti, you know, sane again, get him a job, make him fit for parole so he can go before the board. Got it? Cool. That's the whole premise of this. So he's got to find a job. Cool. That's some comedy in this movie. You see him doing multiple things. Car salesman. You would think a gangster would be a good car salesman.
Another what pretty are the best funny scene the in this movie. Yeah, 100%. The car sales scene, top notch. Still fucking great.
Absolute top notch. Hey, look at this trunk. You could fit like
three bodies in this thing. I'm joking. Wait, you want to buy this car? You've been jerking me off all day. I answered your questions.
Yo, you want to talk to the manager? This is the manager.
Ah, that was a good part. Yeah, see, there are some funny bits. I probably came out of the gate too harsh, but I did not find this movie overall enjoyable. So
Let him be a gangster, like,
yeah.
Or just have that personality. He doesn't have to be some straight guy that you see him trying to be a lot of this movie, because that's when it starts getting weird and feeling off, as opposed to like kind of what you hope to expect. Car salesman, great. When he's doing the whole jewelry gimmick and he's trying to explain away why a crystal or a gem doesn't look the right way.
I love that he's having all these flash forwards of him, like, if he keeps this job, he's just going to end up robbing this place. And he's like, yeah. He almost gets a panic attack in that moment and just runs out. I was like, all right, also pretty good stuff. That stuff is good when he's the fish out of water. That, but everything, like...
I did feel for him when he was the maitre d'. Uh-huh. At the restaurant, and you had, you know,
I love when he shoved the bread in the guy's mouth again.
Yeah. He had his old squad come in, or like other mm-hmm. gangsters, and they're like snickering behind his back because he's working as a maitre d'. Like, that tugged at my heartstrings, but then it kind of goes back to, I don't know.
He's also a piece of
shit. I don't know, but
why do you feel bad for him?
I feel bad for him because he's like this big old gangster, and then the other gangsters are making fun of him, Kyle. I don't want the gangster getting made fun of.
He just wants his friends.
Man, you're making me hate this movie, Kyle. And sorry,
I'm not trying to. Like I said, there are some funny bits. I laughed at that. There are some absolute ridiculous shit too, though. Like, so much suspension of disbelief. Like the fact that the head of the FBI just like gives one of the most famous mobsters to a fucking, he's like, no, you can take him to your house. Never, ever, ever, ever.
No.
Is it never? No.
Okay. Okay. In defense of the movie, defense, I did like how the second that they left, he goes, you must be crazy if you think that I think that he's crazy. The only way that we're going to catch these other guys is if he's on the streets and he mm-hmm. leads us to them.
Yeah.
So I like how it explained it away. It kind of hooked me. It's where about the 3/4 mark on this movie went mm-hmm. where I'm like, wait, what? I mean, I'm here for it. Like the after the wait, what? I'm here for it. That was great.
Yeah.
And I was here for a lot of the lead up to that. But when it hit the, huh? When did this happen?
Yeah.
It's very jarring.
Yeah.
Because he does end up organizing a heist with, you know, his air quotes family, with, you know, Patty's little protege boy that he knocks out in a great scene. He's like, yeah, what of it? And he's like, bah! Knocks him out. But he turns out to be a dude that's trying to start his own family because, of course, see that coming a mile away.
Yeah.
Because the dude looks like a skeezy scumbag.
And he's had issues with our hero character, the Robert De Niro. Another thing I noticed, again, stretching budget and just, I think, partial laziness because of the fact that I know that while they were sometimes writing scenes the night before shooting, that same night is also when like they would be scouting locations to shoot at the next day. So that's why I feel a lot of this movie is set on the fucking back lot and in like trailers that the stars are using behind the scenes. Like so much of that, because it's there, they can write it in, they can use it, blah blah blah. And that's,
yeah,
I overall I think That's my main issue with the movie is before even doing research, I was like, man, this movie feels lazy. And then come to find out it's because the movie was lazy. It was slapdash thrown together. And I feel like overall, like, the quality suffers. It's not as nearly as enjoyable as the first one. And honestly, I feel it taints the first one a little bit with how poorly it executes what it's attempting to do compared to the first one.
Remember when I said last time that I was hoping that this wasn't a movie that would ruin my appreciation of the first movie? While I don't think it inherently does, it has clouded my memory of how much I loved that first movie.
Agree.
I did enjoy this movie. Don't get me wrong, folks. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed this movie. Like I said, I love this duo. I love the juxtaposition of a psych and a mob boss. I think it's fantastic. I love both of them, and I love how they play their characters almost 100% through everything. But the first movie is by and far a superior movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even close.
I do enjoy
really
Jelly.
Unfair.
I also agree with you. Like, even in this movie, goddamn, Billy Crystal and Bob De Niro are just such a fucking great duo. I love it. They're hilarious. They have such chemistry and energy. Jelly, of course, is fantastic. I just feel like they really shortchanged Lisa Kudrow. She could have gotten way more involved. But I also feel like at this point, what'd you say this was? 2002, 2003?
2002, yep.
Yeah, so I mean, that's pretty much peak Friends hype. Like, that's when that is like the number one show in the world. So she was also pretty huge and probably had a pretty demanding schedule. So,
yeah. They definitely could have done much, 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 much more with her. Yeah. Okay, so something I did appreciate that they paid off was, I don't think we mentioned it last week, but Dr. Sobel, Billy Crystal's character, is prone to go into these full-blown fantasies, violent fantasies.
Yeah.
And while I noticed it last time, but while I was watching this time, I was like, wow, that's a little off for someone in his profession to be having these violent fantasies all the time. But, you know, it paid off in this one, and that he does kind of save the day at the end of the movie during the heist where he beats the living shit out of that turncoat that we were just referencing.
A little Weasley fuck. It is a great scene, too. He does beat his ass.
Beats his ass, and then like the other gangsters give him props, like he's a honorary gangster, and I thought that was pretty freaking cool.
Okay,
enjoy that.
It works because we also believe in Billy Crystal as the eternal dork, the nerd, and we also identify with him because he's the normal one. He's not having his, you know. We don't have our friends banging whores super loud at all hours of the morning in our houses. We're the normal character that's going to relate to Billy Crystal, whose life is upended by the mobster or the Bigfoot and Harry and the Hendersons. So on that level, too, he really is humanizing. It's a great quality of Billy Crystal. You can just relate to the guy. I did think they had some nice scenes, even though, again, I thought it was cheap that we're still on the father issues. I really like at that one point when like they're both talking about their dads and crying and Jelly comes in and they're like, whoa, what? Hey, what? Yeah.
You know, I will also say that I think that Paul Vitti's dad issues thing paid off well in this movie. It explained the end. So of course they had to build up, you know, this whole extra story of, you know, what did you want to be as a kid? You know, what did you want to be when you grew up? And you get the story of, oh, it's silly. I was six and a half, seven. You know, I wanted to be a cowboy kind of thing. I wanted to be the hero. And of course, at the end of the movie, they didn't need to ham fist it with the little scene of the kid riding off on the horse with the hat at the very end of the movie. Like,
yeah,
like, I got it. You didn't have to really nail it home that he was the cowboy riding off into the sunset. He was the hero because he led to the crime, the other family getting caught.
Without shedding blood. Well, some blood was shed, but I don't think anybody really gets killed, do they?
Not really.
No. They end up stealing.
Two body count?
Yeah. His whole heist is to steal these gold bars from a truck.
Yeah.
But really, what we don't know until the old switcheroo at the very end is that Paul is being a criminal and stealing these gold. He's actually using it to plant on the wrench, Billy the Wrench, whatever.
Rigatoni family or whatever.
Yeah, to set him up to take the fall so that he takes out that family, but also he doesn't go against his moral code of not being a mobster now. He doesn't kill anyone.
But he also helps the feds.
Yeah.
He's helping the feds, so it doesn't really negatively affect his parole sitch, which honestly, no matter what, it probably should have when you think about it.
100%. He's hanging out with... That's one of the first things you can't do on parole is like hang out with common criminals. Like you fucking get in huge shit for hanging out with criminals. And it's like all of his friends
They're alleged criminals. Yeah. They've never been arrested for anything, Kyle.
I work
all right?
in waste management. Hey, I got some parking tickets.
Hey, you heard how Jelly got out of it. Yeah. You know, people didn't show up and one of them committed suicide by stabbing himself three times in the back and throwing himself off a bridge.
Happens all the time.
It happens all the time. Man, it also like made me so sad at the end of the movie when they go their separate ways. And I like got like a little emotional. I'm like, oh man, they're never going to be friends again. Like, man, why do they got to go different ways?
I thought it would have been better had they... Instead of, like, again, you got to have the action stuff. But this sequel would have been so much better if, for some reason, like, it's just remake The Odd Couple. Give us a reason that Billy Crystal and Robert De Niro have to be, they have to go to a cabin in the woods for witness protection. And then, like, a good middle chunk of the movie is just a recreation of The Odd Couple where... Paul Vitti's super sloppy and, you know, doesn't care. And Billy Crystal's uptight and a clean freak. And that shit is always funny. Play off of it. But, again, that's me. And they, what are you going to do?
You also have the first movie ending with him going to jail. And we expressed that's the way it should have been. You know, there's no reason that he should get away with anything that's going on. He is a mob boss. If he got away scot-free, it would have just felt like such a phony movie.
Yeah,
you know, unless he planned some crazy daring escape or something, sure, fine. And so you're like, cool, he goes to jail. That is a fitting ending to this movie, a little bow on top. This one, while it does feel like there's growth in all of the characters, I also like, you do feel, and they're kind of, there's growth and peace, I guess, in the separation.
There's peace for sure. Yeah.
Growth in the sense that Vitti doesn't need Sobel anymore, you know, because he's overcome those issues. But he's also going off into the sunset with Jelly, and you know damn well.
They're going to get up to some shit. Yeah.
He's going to get up to some shit.
He can't and also, not.
I want a movie that's just him getting up to some shit 20 with years Jelly. Later. Don't care. With Jelly. Bad.
Jelly's gone. I think this was the last movie that guy did.
Joe Vitarelli. When did he die? 2004.
I think they... Yeah. Yeah, he... I think this was his this last was on-screen his last appearance. Movie. Yep.
Wow. So, we got a good one from him.
He's... Oh, he is in Shallow Hal. Holy fucking shit.
That was... I just saw somebody bringing up that movie, and... talking about how good it was. I remember back in the day where how like shit on it was.
I always and liked Shallow Hal.
There is a big renaissance about people like maybe it's nostalgia at this point. I really like Shallow Hal as well. And I feel like I was kind of ostracized for liking that movie years and years ago. But hey, I'm glad to see people like it unless it's I'm just seeing the wrong people talk about it.
It's just the most hateful filled assholes online are like, Shallow Hal rules. And you're like, yeah, it does.
Dude, when he sees like the little girl in like the pediatric burn unit and it like dawns on him.
Overall, it's got a good message at its core, man.
Yeah.
It fumbles some, but that's also, it's a fucking comedy movie from the late 90s. It's not going to be fucking rainbows and butterflies. There's going to be, yeah. And it's what? I think it's, is that R? I think that's Shallow R. Has
got to only be, hold on, I'm looking.
Because I think it's a Fairly Brothers.
I would be surprised if it's rated R. PG-13.
Okay, is it Fairly? Who's the directors?
Yep, the Fairleys.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's a Fairly Brothers, so I always thought they always did R's, but okay. Mm. Yeah, I always liked Shallow Hal. I saw that in theaters. I think it was at the theater that I worked at, and I was like, hey, this movie's funny.
Nice.
I always felt the same way about Evolution.
I feel like I just talked to somebody about that movie.
Evolution rules.
So weird. Weird how that happens. Kyle, you want to get into a rating on this movie?
I would love to get into a rating. I think... there's not a lot to work with.
I know. I've been racking my brain for the last 15 minutes, but I got one.
I think I got one, too.
Okay. I may have stolen yours, but that's fine.
I doubt Kyle. It, but if you did, we are the fucking best friends of all time. Shawnee boy. Are you want to go first?
You can go first. I always go first.
Okay. I was just going to say, Shawnee boy, if you were the star and you were cast as Tony in the Broadway revival of West Side Story and you were singing your big solo for Maria, which is a 4.5 minute long song. Out of that 4.5 minutes, how much of that song are you getting through?
If I'm Tony and I'm getting through my big Maria solo, 4.5 minutes, I'm getting through, 3 minutes and 27 seconds.
Okay.
Don't know what that equates to, but
I think we both know. I love that you never question. We never question each other's rating systems, and we also seem to we just understand how it's working.
Yeah.
So, and I think like, you're right on the money with that. You said 3.5.
3 minutes and 27 seconds.
3 minutes,
so
27
a little less
seconds.
Than 3.5.
Sure.
That makes 4.5. Yeah.
I think that's pretty on par. I would classify that as a B minus.
I would say like C plus.
Yeah.
I would say a C to a B minus. Okay. In that range is about where I want it to be.
Yep. I think that time frame is right on the dot.
Yep. Nice. I mean, hear me out here. Like, I really enjoyed this movie. I don't see giving this a C to a B minus as any negative. I don't remember what I gave Analyze This.
I think we were both in the A. We were both very high on Analyze This.
Okay. I was about to say, my feeling right now, thinking back on Analyze This, right now I would have given Analyze This an A. Mm-hmm. I think giving this a C to B minus is, B minus may be generous, but C to B minus is fair. This is a good sequel. It's really weird to say that this is a good sequel for how ridiculous we just said this movie was, but the characters really do go a long way in lifting this up and making it a quick hour and 30 minutes. I was never really stressed for time. I was never looking. I never once looked to see how much time was left in this movie. I enjoyed all of the scenes. There were some confusing bits in it. There were some things that didn't make a lot of sense to me. But overlooking that in favor of characters that I really do enjoy and good acting, I would watch this movie again. I would rather watch Analyze This, but I would watch this again.
Well, agree Kyle. With all that you said, buddy.
All right. You are a mob boss and you are out on parole. You need to go. Well, you're out on a psychiatric break. But you need to get a job, you know, to go to parole. And
okay, yeah.
You end up, now I'm torn between two. Okay. You end up becoming a maitre d'. I can't do the obvious how many bodies would you fit in this movie's trunk.
Okay.
Can't do that. No. You are a maitre d', but you end up, for some reason, you're going around, you're taking photos with guests because they recognize you as this boss, you're a celebrity, blah-de-blah. And as you're walking away, one of them goes, hey, can we get some Prosecco and maybe some bread? So you turn around and there's a basket of bread on a table behind you, and you pick it up and you look at it real quick. And there's six loaves of bread in there, but each one of them is sliced into six. So there's six loaves, but there's actually 36 pieces in there. You're a little pissed off and you grab a hunk and you're going to jam it down this dude's throat. Kyle, in your anger, fit, rage, how many pieces of bread would you jam down this dude's throat to express how much you enjoyed this movie?
I'm gonna say,
I really hope that people appreciate how fast we think about these.
We really have. I literally came up with that one on as soon as I said, "Oh, I don't have one." I like yours too. I was not even thinking of the bread, so good one on that one. Were you thinking the length of a show tune?
No,
not at all. So okay,
I was immediately going for bread, and then when I said you have to get a job, I'm like, oh. Well, obviously, how many bodies you can fit in the movie's trunk. But it felt a little too obvious.
Out of 36 pieces of bread that I'm shoving in this dude's face, well, I'm going to say 21 pieces of bread down this guy's gullet.
Okay.
It's a little over half. Still think... Even by the half is not a bad score, everyone. You got to that's putting it at average. I think this movie is on the par, pretty average.
Stop thinking about this in terms of high school scores, even though I said B and a C and I was using high school scores. Don't think of it like that.
Yeah.
I think 50% is average.
Mm-hmm. It would be, if this was a out of 10 scale, I wanted it to be right around the 5 to. But I think 21 pieces of bread in this gamook's face. Hey, I'm going to shove it down your fucking throat. Oh, open up. Oh,
that's a lot of bread. Oh,
has still a lot of carbs. He's going to feel it in the morning. He's going to get the gobble-goo. That's pretty good.
Sluggish. Ooh,
I think it's pretty good. It's again, you gotta understand that I'm scoring that as an average. So I think it's a movie as our good buddy Ryan would say, a movie, which it is. It's not the greatest thing you've seen. You'll see a lot better, but man, I have seen so much worse too. And there's 1,000 movies I would rather not watch than analyze that. But same with you, given the choice of the two, I'm going to watch analyze this 10 out of 10 times over this one.
And honestly, on the rating that you gave this, I think it really perfectly matches up with our energy about this movie, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have guessed that you were going to give it about, you know, half of whatever I gave you for a rating.
Yeah.
You know, that made complete sense to me. It's a their movie. For me, it's a little bit above a their movie. Just a cast can go a long way.
It really does. And I really got to emphasize how much Billy Crystal and Robert Niro do elevate this movie, like you said, because, man, they bring a lot to it for what they're adding, a lot of substance that isn't there, on the page. So, not bad. I got to say, buddy, the best thing about this episode is the plan you've set out for next episode. I'm fucking so hyped, dude. That's going to be exciting.
I'm very hype as well. I hope that listeners, we do talk a lot about movies and TV shows and stuff. By the way, new Taskmaster, by the Get time this bitches. Comes out, I'm super fucking hype. But yeah, we talk about movies, we talk about TV shows a lot, but we are very much so at heart gamers. And, sometimes we do put out those game related episodes. And I think a lot of our listener base also likes games. So I look forward to, I hope that we can get something out on Facebook that will ask our listeners to rate their top 5 video game systems in importance to them.
Yeah. We should put that out and then like keep bumping that one for a couple.
Yeah.
Too. So
I'm very excited to see that. Like, yes, I count to PC as a system. Sure. Yeah. Because some people only had that.
Which I was jealous of, but see, I can already give that away. For me, PC won't be a defining experience because I did not get a PC till I was a full grown ass adult in my 20s. So,
and I look forward to hearing about that on next week's episode.
Yeah.
And but also, until then, Kyle.
Yeah.
What can the listeners go do?
Hey, you can go analyze that. John,
yo.
Would you rather drive a mob boss or be the boss at a 9-to-5 job to a former mob boss?
Okay. Say the second one again.
Yeah. So in one instance, you're driving the mob boss around as his personal chauffeur. In the other instance, you are the boss to a newly reformed mob boss who you have to tell what to do.
Okay, so one of them, I'm kind of always at risk of dying just because I'm the chauffeur.
Yeah.
Or the second one, I'm always at risk of dying.
Right? It's which one would you rather?
Oh man, both of these sound horrible.
Yeah,
horrible.
Like the dude, one doesn't sound bad at first.
I would never want to be in a position of power over someone who is a mob boss.
Yeah,
ever. I would rather be a chauffeur because hopefully, after enough time, I would get a chauffeur. I would get a little bitch boy to go start the car for me.
That
and
too.
Then I would chauffeur, you know? Yeah.
At least also I feel with the chauffeur one, at least on the base level, you are in control of the car and you can at least make somewhat of a decision. Whereas like,
both of these are horrible, Kyle.
I feel that's a good would you rather. So
listeners,
if they are terrible.
If there is anybody that listens to these at the end of the episode, I still don't know if anybody does.
I don't know
but
either.
If you listen to this, and if there is a Facebook post about this episode, drop a comment below telling us which you would rather be.
I would like to hear it. And I also look forward to hearing your top five list, and I'm going to keep pushing you. We're doing Carrier. I'm telling you.
Okay. I don't know how I'm going to play that, but I will
figure it out. We'll work on that. But anyways,
Mwah!
Love you, buddy. Bye, audience.
Love you too. Peace.